Morning. I was washing dishes the other day and a thought came to me. The thought was that the default setting for people is whiny. Now, those two things may not seem like they go together, but they really do. I was washing dishes and this epiphany just came to me. People, our default setting is whiny. And the reason that I came to that conclusion is, as I was washing the dishes, I needed to spray something off. The faucet was running, and so all I did was I reached out, grabbed the end of the faucet, pulled it out, pressed a button, and the faucet became the sprayer. It became a sprayer that puts out a powerful enough jet to just blow the gunk off of a nasty pan. And then I just let go of it and whoop, it retracted right back up in. And that is when it hit me that the default setting for people is whiny. Now follow me here. I'm looking at this thing and it is a marvel. It is a wonder of modern engineering. When I was a kid, when I was 10 years old in 1979, we didn't have anything like that. We had this big cast iron sink. It wasn't even a double. It was the single sink. And we had a spigot that came out. And it wasn't even the spigot that you could move around. It was solid. It came out and it was right there. The spigot was there. You wash the dishes at that spot. You rinse the dishes at that spot. You want an alternative? Too bad. That's what you had. And here's the thing, you would be rinsing the dishes in the same sink, and so halfway through, if you had a lot of dishes, halfway through you had to pull the plug and drain half the water out because it was filling up too much. This is what we had. Now, if you were a rich person back then you might have had one of the double sinks with the little sprayer nozzle that's over on the side that they used to have. Those sprayer nozzles, I'm going to tell you, stunk. They were awful. They were only hooked up to the cold water, and every single one that I have ever seen in my entire life had gunk stuck in half the holes, and there was cracks in it, so when you did go to use it, it would spray off in every direction and get everything all wet all over the place. They weren't really all that good, and the cold water going through the hose, I don't know what those hoses were made out of, but enough cold water went through those, they got stiff, and you really couldn't really bend them around that much. It just really stunk. The only thing that was good about those sprayers was that you could take clear Scotch tape, press the button down, and wrap tape around it, and then put it back down in there and aim it so that the next person that came along, hopefully your sister, as soon as they turned the water on, it just hosed them all down. However, I would recommend that you remember that you've taped those down because you might be the person that walks up next for eating that you set a booby trap there and you get it yourself. We didn't have anything like these sprayers that they have today. If you went back 40 years ago and you had one of these modern sprayers installed in your house, your kitchen would become an area where all of your neighbors would be congregating for hours just to watch it work, just to marvel at how great this thing is. You'd be like, hey, Ed, you want to try it? Go ahead. It's really cool. You just pull it right out, press the button, and it is the sprayer. You get done, you let go. It goes right back in all by itself. Things are wonderful. Things we have today are awesome. And it's not just stuff like at the kitchen sink. The other day, Kathy and I were talking about that before cold weather sets in, we want to take a trip up to Lake Michigan. We've only been to Lake Michigan like twice this year. We used to go quite a bit throughout the summer. And we want to take a trip up to Lake Michigan and just walk the beach in the nice weather. And all we're going to do when we plan to do that, which I think we're going to have to do this week because after this it's not going to be that great of weather, but all we have to do is get up a little bit early, take a two-hour drive up to Lake Michigan, spend the beautiful whole day at the beach, get back in our car, and drive home. 1979? Ha! You wouldn't be thinking about doing that. Because number one, you'd be going, will my car make it up there and back? I mean, you remember the cars that were built in the 70s and the late 60s? You'd be going, I don't know, man. And number two, it wouldn't be a two-hour drive up there. 1979, do you remember? We drove 55 miles an hour. And that was on the expressway. I am pretty sure that in 1979, between this spot and Lake Michigan, you'd be taking the back roads that, if you're lucky, you'd be doing 55. You'd be slowing down to 25, 35, going through every single two-stoplight town between here and there. It would take you 4 hours. Things are beautiful now. Things are wonderful now. People from back then, if they saw today, they'd be going, I just don't understand it. It is beautiful, amazing things that we have. While we're talking about that, let's talk about two things that were made for each other, okay? Food and television. These two things, they just go together, do they not? In 1979, if you wanted to watch your favorite show, do you remember what you had to do? You had to plan your day around when that show was going to come on. You had to be like, oh, honey, we got to stop whatever we're doing because the show's coming on in 5 minutes and we got to be ready. And everybody would gather around, you turn the TV on, and you'd watch the show, and you would hope that you could hold your bladder till the commercial. And then everybody in the house would be running over to try and use the one single toilet that you had in the house at the same time and get done and be back before the show started up again. And then you also hoped that nobody was talking during the show. Because if you missed it, that was it. You were done. You weren't going to see it again until next year when it came around as a rerun. And you want to eat while you're having it? That's okay. You can do that back then. We had those things called TV dinners. Do you remember those? Those were a food-like substance wrapped in tin that you had to stick into the oven half an hour before you needed it, because that's how long it took for those to get warmed up. And then when you did get them, you had to use hot pads because those things would melt your fingers right off your body. And you take them out and you peel the thing off and the steam melts your face. And then you enjoy them while you're watching your show, hoping that you can make it to the commercial before you run to the bathroom. We don't do any of that stuff now. None of that stuff do we do now. You want to watch TV? You don't even actually watch TV now. You stream it. And you watch your favorite show any time you want. Somebody starts talking, it's not a problem. Boop, pause. You got to go to the restroom? Boop, pause. You miss something? That's no problem either. We'll just back the TV show up and watch it again. And TV dinners, they still exist, but they're microwavable. You can cook those things in like 3 minutes. And you put them in a microwave that is only slightly larger than a dinner plate that you bought at Walmart for $50. My mother's first microwave that we did have back in the 1970s was the size of a small car. And it cost $300. Back when $300 was a week's pay for a doctor. But don't worry about that, because you're not going to eat the microwavable TV dinners anyway. Because the one single and only thing that has not improved in the last 40 years is the food in a TV dinner. It is still awful. But there's ways around that too. Because if you want to eat while you're having your dinner, you don't even have to move. You don't even have to get out of your chair. You pick up your phone, You press a few buttons, and like magic, 30 minutes later, some guy shows up at your door with a pizza or Chinese food. You don't have any money? Doesn't matter. You took care of it on your phone. It's all done. He just hands it to you and goes away. We are living in science fiction, folks. It is a marvelous thing. If ourselves from 40 years ago came forward to today, they would stand around with their jaws open going, everything is wonderful. Everything is amazing. These people should be the happiest people that ever walked the face of the earth, and they should never have anything to complain about. But is that the case? No. Because as things get better, as things get more and more amazing, what we do is we shift what we whine about from important things to less important things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We get to the point where we have people losing their minds about the decor in Hobby Lobby. This, my friends, tells me that the default setting for people everywhere is whiny. You know, I have to think, how was it for Adam and Eve? How was it for them? Was their default setting whiny? I realize it was before the fall, but I think probably it was whiny back then too. Imagine them in the garden. They're in the Garden of Eden. And God talks with them and gives them instructions, and then God walks away and Adam's rolling his eyes. He's like, geez Louise, the one fruit that I wanted to eat, that one. And that's the only one I can't. All this other stuff is like Macintosh apples. It's mushy and gross. I don't want to eat that stuff. The one thing I wanted is the one thing I can't. And you know what Eve was like? She's over there like, who's Louise? We're whiny. And we really, really shouldn't be. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 8 through verse 13. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ died, went to the cross for you and for me. Now, a lot of times, we think about a statement like that, and we have sorrow. And I understand that. I get it. In fact, at first, it should bring us sorrow. It bothers us. It bothers us that our sin brought the Creator of the universe to an agonizing death on the cross. And if that doesn't bother you at some point, you are either calloused, or as they said in Sunday school this morning, have a stone heart, or you just don't really get what happened. Sorrow, however, is not supposed to be where we stay. It is not supposed to be where Jesus' gift brings us, not ultimately. Ultimately, it's supposed to bring us to joy, to happiness. We should literally be shouting, "Woohoo!" because Jesus took away our sin. When we realize what it means for us in the long run, it means that we have salvation. It means that everything is going to be okay. It says that the Christ became a servant to the circumcised. The Creator of the world came down and became a lowly nobody within the Jewish community, because God had made promises to the patriarchs. He had made promises to the nation of Israel that from the line of David is where the Savior would come. God fulfilled those promises in Jesus Christ as a way to bring the Israelites and the Gentiles, that's you and me, together. A way to bring the praising of God's name to those who were not at first full of praise, because we weren't in the original promise. We weren't in the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that brought all of Israel to God. That was accomplished, us coming in through Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross. Jesus dying on the cross, it's not something that is supposed to bring us, or at least leave us, in remorse. After we have accepted Him, after we have had the remorse of our sins, the only remorse that we should be feeling is for those who haven't come to it yet. Because when we first realize our sin, it does bring that sorrow to us. But when we realize our salvation, it is meant to bring us joy. It is meant to bring us peace. It is meant to bring us to the point where we are praising God every single day. You know what occurred to me in Sunday school this morning? I can't remember who it was. Somebody was praying. It might have been Kevin. And they thanked God that we could, you know, have all these blessings that we have and meet in an air-conditioned church. You know, I was never once in an air-conditioned church until I moved to Texas. We just didn't have that sort of thing. It wasn't needed. You know, why would you need air conditioning? It's the UP. I mean, they're going to use it like 6 days a year. We have beautiful blessings whether we're in a sweltering hot building or we're in just the lap of luxury and air conditioning. We have blessings from God in every single situation of our life, and sometimes I think we just don't think about it enough. No matter where we end up, no matter what goes wrong, no matter how bad the things are that are in our lives, we have salvation in Jesus Christ, and that should have us every day on our best day when everything goes perfect and life is just beautiful, and on our worst day when we cannot imagine more things going wrong, when we cannot imagine more sorrow in our lives, we should still be able to think about the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And that eventually we get to go to heaven and spend eternity there with Him. And this says in Romans that it is meant to be for our joy and for our praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we can be whiny. And I can be whiny just as much as anybody else. And if you don't think that's true, you ask her. I have a thought that was in my head when I was writing this sermon from the movie The Incredibles. Did you see the movie The Incredibles? It's a cartoon, so some of you may have not seen it, but if you had kids or grandkids or anything like that, you've probably seen The Incredibles. In this one scene in the movie The Incredibles, there are a bunch of superheroes, it's a cartoon, and the dad has been captured, and he's on this island, and the bad guy has him, and he saw that the plane that his whole family was on got shot down by a rocket, and he thinks they're all dead. And then he sees his wife. She's still alive. The whole family survived. And she is ticked at him because he's been lying to her and kind of hiding some different things and doing things. And she is giving him what for? She is yelling at him and yelling at him and telling him what he's been doing wrong. And he's just standing there with a stupid grin on his face. And she says, "Why are you so happy?" And he says, "Oh, you want to pick a fight, but I don't care because you're alive." No matter how bad things are in this life, and I understand that they are bad, things can be awful here. But what we need to understand is like the terrible, terrible dreams that we will sometimes have. You know the type of dreams where you wake up in a cold sweat and you're going, because the dream was just awful. But you wake up and all of a sudden you realize it's over and it wasn't true. All that bad stuff that happened in the dream doesn't matter. When we wake up in heaven with Jesus Christ and we're right there in the presence of God the Father, every bad thing that happened to us while we are on this earth is going to seem like waking up from a bad dream. Because we have salvation in Jesus Christ. And when you have that, how much does the other stuff really matter? I'm not trying to trivialize the bad things that happen, but compared to salvation, everything is a little bit trivial. And if you think I'm wrong on that, I want you to picture it in the reverse way. Picture that you never get sick. Picture that everybody you know is always healthy and happy. Picture that you're richer than your wildest dreams. Picture that everything you ever wanted is true, but when you die, you're going to hell. And then the opposite of that picture looks pretty good. Because salvation is forever. And Jesus Christ came for you and I so that we would praise God the Father. Is it understandable that we would have some bad things in our lives and we would want for them to be better? Absolutely. And that's why God wants us to pray to Him. Because He knows that when things are bad, He still wants to hear from us and He wants to bless us. God wants to give us good things. God wants to hear us when we are hurting, when we are suffering, when we are going through things. He wants us to give those things over to Him. But in the long run, He wants us to also remember what's important. And what's important is whether or not we're going to heaven. And that is why Jesus Christ did what He did. And that is why it says at the end of this passage, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." I know there are things that are bothering you, and I don't mean to trivialize those by using the term whiny, although when we focus on the tiny little stupid stuff in our lives, I think that's what we do. The little stuff, we whine. I know that there are things that make you hurt. I know that there are things that make you sad. But I want you to abound in hope. of our salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you haven't given yourself to Jesus Christ, this is the time, so that you also may abound in all hope through salvation and faith. If you haven't given yourself to Christ, don't wait another day, because in the end, it is the only thing that matters. Please stand as we sing.